Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm not really sure what's going to happen on the radio show this morning. We have incredible old buildings in Astoria, great architecture. And the Liberty Theater, of course, is a great example of a building that we were able to save for the community. And Robert Jake Jacob played a huge role in making that happen for the community. And he is here in the studio today because he wants to talk to the community about the Armory Building. The Maritime Museum is selling it. We're going to hear more from him. He's in the studio today. Robert Jake Jacob, he is the owner of the Cannery Pier Hotel and Spa. He is an entrepreneur. He's a pioneering spirit. He's wild, and I don't know what we're going to say today, but we're going to find out about the Armory Building and a special tour that's coming up next week, and how we can get involved and what he thinks about it. So, Robert Jake Jacob, welcome to Talk of Our Towns.
Hello, Donna.
As though we do not know one another. Okay. So, you are here. You've done a lot of things to help preserve the character and integrity of Astoria, the buildings, the community. Why are you here in the studio today?
Because you asked me to.
No, you asked me to. The Armory Building must be
we
saved.
We can't argue on the air.
Okay.
I do have a question. I've lost that prepared script that I wrote last night. Do you have it?
No.
Oh, that's right.
I have no prepared script.
I don't have one.
No.
The reason I'm here is the Armory was a huge part of us little kids growing up here in the 50s. I was born in 49, and that Armory housed everything. And it was built, I think, in 1941. If John Gutenberger is listening, he's taking notes as we speak for all my inaccuracies. But it was a huge building, and today most people who haven't grown up here don't even know it exists because it's a nondescript, concrete, walled, three-four-story building, takes up about a city block.
And let's tell people where it's located. It's attached. It's right behind.
Right after you buy your fish at the Bow Picker, you turn around and there it is. As you come out of the Moose Lodge, you walk into the east end of it.
So it's right across from the Moose Lodge in downtown Astoria, and it is actually kind of attached or behind the Heritage Museum.
That is correct.
Okay.
It is between, I think, Duane and Exchange on 15th and 16th or something.
Okay.
Thank you, Terry.
And it is a gigantic, amazing structure.
What blew me away after owning all the older buildings that leaked in Astoria, when I first took a look at this, it was amazing that for being built in 41, they have a hardwood floor gymnasium, which is monstrous, full court, and also been divided up perpendicular with some half courts. That floor is spotless. No water stains, no rolling bumps. It is in incredible shape. And the roof structure is perfect. It has all the right things wrong with it. Doodads, cosmetics, pigeon droppings, things of that nature, things that you can fix. Structurally, it is an amazing, amazing building.
And the Maritime Museum purchased that building several years ago. They have been using the basement, which is heated for storage for some of their wooden boats. Now the Maritime Museum has purchased Randy Stemper's Builder Supply, and that is going to be another part of the Maritime Museum. So they no longer need the Armory Building. The Armory Building is now for sale, and you are kind of orchestrating a campaign to get the community to think about preserving it. Like the Friends of the Liberty came together, and now we have the Liberty Theater. So you're hoping that maybe people who are listening to this program and who are going to come to a special tour on Tuesday, July 9th at 2 o'clock, the Armory will be open from 2 to 3 p.m. on Tuesday. You're hoping that the community will have this as an asset to use for a lot of different purposes, correct?
I wanted to make that announcement at 2 o'clock.
Oh, I see. Well, I think we should tell people before they actually come on Tuesday at 2 o'clock why they would be coming to the Armory.
You made Terry laugh on that.
Okay.
Yes, this wasn't my idea. None of these, and I don't orchestrate anything. That's sophisticated. I'm like a lot of people that find that this is cool. The trolley, the Liberty, the Riverwalk, all those things had, you know, real rough beginnings, but they're happening, and they're just great assets. And yes, Skip Hauke, I hope he doesn't mind, thought it would be cool to have an open house so the community could wander through it rather than just the same kind of people saying, oh gosh, what do we do with this? What I find amazing is that you do not find a structure that size in a town of 10,000. It would probably cost $3 to $4 million to build, and nobody would build it because it couldn't pay for itself. But it's here, and it's already happening. That's what's cool. And because the museum, like you said, got a building that's more appropriate for their viewing use and for all their great additional artifacts that have been in a basement storage unit, this is a perfect chance for them to get that rolling, and at the same time it leaves that building empty, and they're willing to sell that. And that's what got me excited about it, because this community has always just figured that other venues go somewhere that's bigger, and we don't have enough large venues to make this work financially. But if this building was somehow back into the community at this low, low price and slowly put back together, you could do things that a lot of us hadn't dreamed of. The more and more people I talk to, the greater ideas. I just thought about Michelle Reeves and what to, you know, the kids do in the winter. When I grew up, there was the Viking roller rink, there was the bowling alley, and the YMCA. And the YMCA had a secret underground indoor pool.
You mean all in the armory? No.
No.
Okay. Well, I want to hear memories from the armory, but okay, when you
grew
up, there
were things
to do. You
weren't raised here, were
you, Donna? No, I was not.
Sorry. Anyway, that there was tons of things to do. Those places, the roller rink and the YMCA, which housed a ton of activities, is gone. That's where we hung out as grade school kids. And this armory was one of the, could be one of those pieces with all kinds of uses. The fun part is that in order to store antique wooden boats, the museum have a air control, not only heated, humidified, security, everything in that basement is already done because they needed that for their storage. Even though the public wasn't going through to view it, they had too many great artifacts waiting for the space, which they now have. So the basement of the armory, let's just take a guess, 8,000 to 10,000 square feet, is perfectly heated, cooled, humidified, and that alone is a huge expense, which is already there.
And that could be used for many, many different things. So you're saying that I mean, there's the upstairs. I've been in the building, and it is spectacular because, I mean, that floor, as you say, and the bleachers, the ceiling, it's a very unusual thing. I talked to John Gutenberger, and he would love to see it remain in the community for a variety of uses. He says it's very unusual because when the building was built, apparently the funds came from the community. The community built it. It was not coming. There were no outside government funds to build that building, and for it to remain in the community as an asset would be terrific. And Mac Burns from the Historical Society also agreed with that. What kinds of things actually was the armory used for in the past?
It gets really goofy. I brought in my cronies. John England tells a great story of that in his basketball playing days, that if you did not get, because they were at the old high school, which is now Clatsop College, and that gymnasium could not house the interest of basketball was huge in the 30s, the late 30s, 40s, and 50s, and up to the 60s in Astoria because of our amazing talent. He said if you didn't get there at the beginning of the JV game, you were not going to get into the armory. He said 3,000 people. That mezzanine alone, that the existing built-in bleachers, is probably 700-800 before you do the end bleachers, before you put the bleachers back that were on the hardwood floor that wrapped around the basketball court. That's a pretty amazing number. And he said that place filled up. When I was a kid, I went to the Harlem Clowns. Janice Snow said she was little and went with the Harlem Globetrotters, the real people. They had Kevin Leahy and Peter Hutala, best to their best recollection of those era, went to Deep Purple. Skip Hawkey said there was great auto shows, home shows, garden shows, and the town was still 10,000. We just take it for granted that that goes to Seaside, to the convention center. It's just amazing that I believe, since I've been talking, so many people have come up and say, could we have that indoor basketball tournaments that Seaside does? Could we have volleyball? Could we have rock climbing, the roller rink skating? You have to excuse us now. They're trimming trees right outside of our window here, Donna.
Yes, okay, so the uses of, there were big bands, it was a dance floor, it was used by the military.
Yes, I did. That's what's interesting. You said that it was built by community funds. That even makes it more fun. I thought, since it was built as the National Guard Armory that related to all the Fort Columbia's, Fort Stevens, I knew this, that the military did all their assemblies, training, and all their indoor large events that they had to do. That's why I thought the armory was built. And then they stored vehicles and all their things that the military wants to keep out of the rain was in that giant basement. And I thought we just went to the National Guard people and said, can we lease it, borrow it for the various roller rinks, ball games? The mere fact that the stage is huge.
Oh, there's a huge stage.
Correct, with real back rooms and stuff, that there is, if you did have the big bands like they had in the 1940s, all these things may only happen once a year or every other year. But if there was a big band that came in like the old Glenn Miller days, that was the Amato Supper Club at J.P. Plumbing. I like to throw that in, Jim. That these things are really fun, and you don't have a giant dance floor. We sold out the kind of Willie Nelson kind of country western, and people like to dance. Where can you do that?
That's true.
And in the winter, that's why I think it's a just an amazing chance to say, hey, here it is. You tell us what to bring in there.
Right. So really what you're doing is you're saying, people, this is under the radar. A lot of people don't know that the armory is for sale. They don't know that this is an incredible asset that could be used for so many things, whether it's soccer tournaments or, you know, paintball thing, whatever it is. There are so many things. Well, maybe not.
Yeah, paintball, maybe if you clean up.
Okay, but okay. So, as a sports complex, as big, there are so many uses for this building, and you don't want to see it go away. You want to see it be preserved for the community for uses. And so, what you're saying is, let's come on Tuesday, July 9th at 2:00, and for an hour it's going to be open to the public. You would like to see a group like Friends of the Liberty, but this would be Friends of the Armory, saying, here, let's figure out how can we say this? What can we do? What are some of the ideas and uses? You're just trying to stir up the water so that you can get ideas and answers to questions about how can we best use this for the community.
That's one of my strong points, is stirring things up.
Yes, I do know that, actually.
And one of my strengths is I'm smart enough to know I'm stupid. So I'm really stupid on how to do this. I'm stupid on what would make this work. How many, you know, there's a million reasons why you can't do something. There's only one reason why you can, you know, and if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. So when I have people say, what about seismic? What about this? What about the upgrades? What about the handicapped restrooms, the railings? And all that? Yeah, those are called doodads to the people I ran with. And I would say $6 million budget on a hotel is not a doodad. They say, if you really think you could do this, it's a doodad. Some are bigger doodads. And there's a lot of things to figure out. All I'm trying to do is, if people saw it, maybe there's a group of really interested, energetic people that aren't old like I am watching the cooking channel, and maybe they want to get involved and say, Jake, why don't we form this? Why don't we do this? And we could raise money and all the kind of things we can do, clean up and paint and stuff. Because the cool part, the city, before I researched this, I mean, while I was researching, was nice enough to come down. And they looked at it and said, it is an outright assembly use. So we could open the doors tomorrow without any upgrades, grandfathered in, just like we did with the Liberty, and start the process. And then over the course of time, as more people say, this is cool, they could paint, clean, add things, add the bleachers, raise money for this. And we do know this. There's a bunch of mothers that said they would hand out skates to get their kids out of their house in December.
Well, the structure I know is incredibly sound. That's one thing that I know you checked on. And so you're talking about the pigeon droppings. Those are doodads. But if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And today my guest is Robert Jake Jacob. He is the developer owner of the Cannery Pier Hotel and Spa, and he's been instrumental in preserving a lot of historic buildings here in Astoria, and also brought the trolley here to us, found that. So he is now saying the Armory, which is located in downtown Astoria. It's across from the Moose Lodge, near the Bow Picker, across from the Bow Picker, and behind the Heritage Museum, is now for sale. It's a little under the radar. It is incredibly reasonably priced, and Jake would like to see the community come together and keep this building for multiple uses here in this community. So everybody I've talked to, and I know you've talked to a lot of people too, they think it's a great idea. They think it's exciting, and they think that they're so. What are the steps that would have to that have to happen here? I mean, first you want to have this tour on Tuesday from 2 to 3. There's no real organization right now. There's just you're just kind of spearheading this thing with passion, saying, "Everybody, listen, the Armory is here. It's something we need to not let go away."
First of all, I wasn't instrumental in preserving old buildings. I bought old buildings that leaked. I hired George Brewer of Beeline. How's that, George? To stop them from leaking. So all I'm doing is you could not replicate this building in today's world. A building that huge doesn't make sense in a city of 10,000. So we have something that other places would never get. And I believe that in 3 to 4 or 5 years, we'll be sitting here giggling, watching events that we had never even dreamed of. And that thing would be paying for itself with a real marketing director going, oh, my stars, I just got a call from such and such, and they want to do a home show on the North Coast or this. And they normally go to someplace. We're not connected with Seaside any way, shape, or form, are we, Donna?
No.
Thank you.
We are thrilled that we have Seaside as such a good neighbor. And
thank you.
However,
but that's the thing that is exciting, is that this is an opportunity that's just, it's come our way, because I looked at it for when that religious organization purchased it. And I just thought, what a space. This would be so cool. And, you know, there's so many questions unanswered. And like the organization, you yourself said, I'm not allowed in any committees.
That's correct.
And you were chairing one, said you never want me to back into a group setting.
That is correct.
So we just need some real talented, energetic people, and they'll come up with the answers. I have as many questions as other people, but it has all the right things wrong with it, things you can create. And instead of being worth tons of hundreds of thousands of dollars, this building has been dormant for forever. And that's what I'm hoping with this open house, that somebody will come up to us and say, wow, let's try this. What if you did this? How about that? And then I could sit and go, you know, watch what they're doing, because they have the energy and the expertise. And when all the questions come, just like the Liberty, think of all the things that Steve Forrester faced when he said, I think we should preserve it. Well, it's a great idea with lots of doodads. We should get a trolley. How about Paul Benoit? Why don't we take the railroad from the railroad and make a trolley and a bike path? Try to get something from the railroad for free. All of those things happened. You know, the Commodore Hotel, the Elliott Hotel. And that's the kind of stuff that, you know, if as far as organizations and civic groups, or especially government, not every government is set up to take on bizarre projects. They're supposed to do projects that make fiscal sense.
However, you've got that heated area in the basement, which could be leased out.
That could handle amazing amount of the expenses because of it's already done and ready to go, even at a discount rental price. That's a huge asset. That would cover a ton of costs. And a couple of winter concerts where you'd want to dance or stuff could pay for the rest. You just have, and the rest of the time, we could slowly raise money to have the floor bleachers or upgrade this or do that. And eventually, if it really caught on, then somebody would say, do we want an elevator? Do we want to make all these bathrooms not state of the art, but, you know, the handicap accessible? Mm-hmm. Do we want to get the building codes? Do we want to do this? The nice part is we don't have to do anything but clean, paint, and open the doors to start something.
Yeah, and it's kind of like Field of Dreams. If you build it, they'll come. And it's already here. And you're saying, let's make sure we can keep it here. And I know that you also view this as an economic driver, that this would bring, I think, economic development and whether it's a group that wants to come here. And it doesn't look like it would compete with any of the other buildings that are around at this time doing these things.
No, it's just too large. I don't know if you've been in the Liberty, but you can't get the Home and Garden Show in there because the dirt alone would be
The PAC and the Liberty have a particular function that is very important, but to have a giant sports tournament indoors or any of those kinds of things, that's not feasible anywhere.
Yeah,
but
I've tried
Armory.
Playing basketball at the Performing Arts Center.
Didn't
and
work.
You just trip over the right. chairs and stuff. No, this is a separate entity that's just huge, and it is the nice part. If it was ready to go, it would pay for itself because it only takes a few large events that could say, hey, our nut is so small to crack. We just did it now, you know, and it's not like the Liberty that takes millions to renovate to do it correctly. This is basically an armory. All you'd got to do is paint and clean it. And I've already checked structurally and with the city. The nice part is it's held by concrete pilaster columns so that the concrete walls between the columns are non-structural to a certain point, so you could carve windows all along the top above the mezzanine to bring in all the natural light, lights, which is brought in at the far end. The roof alone would have people's interest because when we went to college, they had this tetrahedron tension roof covering that could span thousands of acres if you could find a big enough anchor. And for whatever reason, in 1941, John Gutenberg would know more of this. This engineer did this in tension, so that roof has no beams, no trusses spanning it. It is held by a bunch of, I'm guessing, let's say 6x24-inch beams bolted together, forming a billion triangles in an arch. And that arch is so powerfully sound that the thrust at where it lands on the concrete walls is so great. They have these giant tie rods every 20 some feet spanning the whole thing, hoping the building does not blow apart.
Well, you,
it's fun.
You're right. And you this is a very rare building. And I talked with Sam Johnson, the executive director of the Maritime Museum, and he thinks it would be a wonderful thing, Jake, for you to, you know, as you are doing, to stir things up and to have people come together and to have it remain a community resource. There are endless possibilities. If you have ideas about what could happen with the Armory, if you have memories, if you grew up and you spent time at the Armory, or if you're new to town or you've never seen it, this is a special opportunity. It's not open to the public, but from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. on Tuesday, July 9th. Robert Jake Jacobs.
It is open to the public from 2 to 3, though.
It is open to the public from 2 to 3 p.m. on Tuesday, July 9th. And Robert Jake Jacobs will be there, and Sam Johnson from the Maritime Museum. Bring ideas. Bring thoughts. Come in and wonder at the structure, because it is incredible. And I know that communities which have saved these kinds of buildings are always so glad at the end. Yes,
I told you I wouldn't screw up today.
We're not finished yet.
Okay.
There's still a few moments left. Anyway, so there's really no organization at this point. Right now, this is just exactly what we do in a small community, and just what this kind of radio station does too. We're about community. This is a community resource and asset. We'd like it to remain in the community. If you want to see it and you have ideas, then come to the Armory on Tuesday from 2 to 3 p.m.
I just hate to see people standing around 4 to 5 years from now saying, how did we lose that? Oh, my stars. What an economic driver. Think of the winter months that the restaurants and shops would love to have 1,000 attendees, 2,000 attendees, let alone the vendors. We don't even know what event would be there, but they love Astoria. They would love to hold it in Astoria, but they don't have a space big enough to hold whatever thing
right.
they're
we
putting together.
We don't have a convention center. We have a lot of lovely, smaller spaces,
right.
but we don't have a big space and, like this. That just doesn't exist.
And then all of a sudden, in those tougher months for the shop owners, you know, for the B&Bs, the motel hotels, let alone for sure the restaurants, that would be fun for them to say, wow, that was a big weekend in January 10th because of that three-day event that was held at the Armory.
So it just takes a visionary person to see what is possible. And again, I think that a lot of people just aren't aware of it. They haven't seen it. And this is the opportunity to do that. Any last things? We only have a few minutes left. Anything else you would like the listening audience to know about the Armory? Or anything else you'd like to say?
Would you buy me breakfast after this?
Let's see. I'll think about that. Okay, so 2 p.m., the Armory. Terry Wilson, you have anything to say? Okay. Terry didn't grow up in the Armory, but a lot of people did.
Very few grew up in the Armory. We're still looking for two of them.
Who disappeared. All right. Thank you so much, Robert Jake Jacob. here's an opportunity to view this historic building Tuesday, July 9th from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. And I hope you all will come out and take a peek at it and think about possibilities.
It's fun.
All right. Thank you so much, Robert Jacob. And thank you, Terry Wilson, our engineer extraordinaire, for all that you do here at KMUN and in the community. I also want to express my appreciation to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. With gratitude for all the good things in your life, focus on those things. Focus on feeling good and expanding those things in your life. And then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you. For doing the best you can, and for being here now, in this moment, the only moment which exists, on the amazing planet we call Earth.